Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So I was thinking about, what does it take for us to be patient? What does it take for us to wait? You know, we waited 2.5 years to have this in-person married retreat. How long would you be willing to wait for something? Recently, Tasha and I waited on the phone for almost 3 hours to plan a vacation. Could you imagine waiting on the phone for 2 or 3 hours? But we wanted to go on our vacation, so we waited. And I think about patience. The ability to wait. That's a special individual. Patience is special. It does not come naturally to everyone. As you know, we are a microwave society. We want things now, how we want it, right this moment. And so sometimes we can struggle with patience. So share with me in the chat here, what areas in your life do you struggle being patient? Is it taking long road trips? I know for me, I struggle in that arena because I don't like to stop for no food. I'm like, we're getting gas, we're getting snacks, and we're back on the road. My family wants to stop to have big old sit-down meals. I'm like, no, we have no time for that. We've got to go. Or maybe it's long road trips and your spouse has to take multiple bathroom breaks. Well, I'm not going to call no names, but we know who we are. And you're just breaking and breaking and you're like, I can't stand this. Or maybe sometimes is we don't have patience because our spouse wants to do some different type of career development. Or maybe we don't have patience because a financial situation has been created by our loved ones. We're not even patient sometimes with our brothers and sisters. We can not be patient with our children because they're not doing what we want them to do. Sometimes we're not even patient with the spouse that we said I do to when we married them. And even we can lack patience with our Father in heaven. God clearly tells us that we should be patient with one another because He was patient with us. And we should be so grateful that our Father in heaven is patient with us. Therefore, the title of the message today is Grateful Patience. And we see this being played out in the story of the first marriage in Genesis chapter 2. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. So as we study out our Bibles, I want to remind us that we want to read for depth. We want to read the scriptures and see what sticks out to us, what seems strange. And those words or phrases that seem strange, we want to go to the original language in which the text was written and get some context, and it allows the biblical story or the biblical concept to be painted much brighter in your minds and in your hearts. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So what we have here is two creation stories. The first creation story started in Genesis chapter 1, where God created the universe. And we are so amazingly thankful that God gave us a beautiful place to be living in and to have the beautiful sights. The second creation story is his most amazing creation ever, even more so than the universe, which is the human body, which is us. And again, grateful for God creating us, thinking about us before time was time, thinking about us while he was knitting us in our mother's womb. And so we know that Adam got created first. And Adom is how his name is pronounced in Hebrew, means dirt. And brothers, that's where it all started. Our name means dirt. Boy, the men have struggled throughout the years to try to make a name for ourselves. And if you pull back all the layers, we actually come from dirt. But amen, the struggle continues. So when you look at the next statement is so powerful. God says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will give him a suitable helper. A lot of the times we think that this suitable helper is supposed to be a slave for man or subservient to man, and man is just whipping on the servant and calling all the shots. But that's so strange that God would say, man shouldn't be alone. I'm going to give him a helper. Well, what kind of helper are we really talking about? So if we go to the original language in which the text was written, this phrase, suitable helper, in Hebrew, it means exer connecto. And this is always mentioned in the Old Testament every time to mean a vitally important and powerful act of rescue and support. So woman, Eve, was created to be a corresponding and opposing equal partner for Adam. You see, exer connecto is this heart of opposition, an opposing helper that is designed to give support to the man. So nowhere in this phrase are we talking about the woman being subservient. Nowhere in this phrase are we talking about the woman being a slave to the man. What we see is woman is supposed to oppose the man in a supportive sort of way. Now, as we read on, the other thing that sticks out to me that's strange is if God says he was going to give Adam a suitable helper, then God gives Adam a task to name all these animals. Now, what kind of sense is that? God had to know that Adam is man, he's human. So it would seem like, just give me my counterpart. But God doesn't do that. God tells Adam to name all of the animals. I bet y'all don't know how many animal species there are in this world. 8.7 million species in this world. Adam had to name all of them. How long did that take for that dude to do all of that? Now, that brother was patient to name all those animals. And that's what God put on his heart. And so when you look at this word patience, patience is mentioned 35 times in the scriptures. And it means long suffering, enduring, persevering. So patience is not always going to feel good. It's not going to always be what we want it to be. Let me take a minute and speak to our folks out there that are seeking out marriage. God gave Adam a task. He put something on Adam's heart to name all those species, and Adam did it. Adam was patient and waiting, doing what God puts on his heart, being obedient. 8.7 million species? Man, I'd have been like, God, you tripping, man. We got to do something else. This ain't it. But Adam did it. So folks that are seeking out marriage, you have to have grateful patience while God is bringing you that opposing but equal partner that he desires for you. And while you're being patient, you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient to God's word and what he's putting on your heart. Because in patience, it is better than expected. Amen. And that's the major point this morning. It's better than expected when we are patient. It's just better. We will want to jump off and try to take control of it and start dating this person and sleeping with that person and doing all kind of stuff because we can't be patient and wait on God. So we see that God is telling us there is a tension that is taking place. And it's a tension that's actually ordained by God. Now, you know, most of us out there, we don't like tension. We don't like conflict, especially in relationships with people that we say we love. But God is telling us, I have designed man and woman relationships to be opposing, that there should be some healthy tension. And so we need to lean into that tension. But as we lean into that tension, all of us need to have humility. Write this one down. Write this one down. Unity starts with humility. Unity starts with humility. If I were to say this statement, happy wife, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. Go ahead and put in the chat what that means to you. Is that something that you agree with, disagree with? What are your thoughts about that statement? Let me speak to the men out there in our virtual church. Brothers, we have got to be spiritual. We have got to live out our convictions that allow us to be like Jesus. And that starts with leading in humility, leading our wives, leading our spouses, leading our fiancés, leading our girlfriends, leading at home in humility. We need to stand firm in our spiritual convictions about what we need as men to be able to grow to be like Jesus. Men, we can't pull back. We can't be passive because there's tension in the relationship. We have to lean into that tension. And when you lean into tension, it's going to require patience. Everything's not going to happen like you want it. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we have to communicate to our wives and our engaged couples. Hey, honey, this is what I need to be more like Jesus. I need to read my Bible every day. I need to be around these spiritual men that hold me accountable, that lift me up to be like Jesus. I need to go to church on Sunday to be with the body of Christ so that I can serve and so that people can pour into me. So men, let our biblical convictions be heard. No longer should we be emasculated and told to be quiet and be turned by the ear to be spiritual. We need to lead the way spiritually. Amen. Ladies, can you be a supporter with humility, an opposing equal partner that supports the brothers and allow the brothers to lead the way spiritually? There's an incredible opportunity for men and women to do something incredible. You know, when you really look at this, this even goes deeper than just marriage. God set up man and woman in relationship, opposing relationship, to build humanity up, to win humanity back to God. But it takes patience. When you're in that tension, things get a little hot. Sparks can fly. Things are not going to always work out like we think and like we want, but we have to lean into that tension. We know that, man, God tells us, be patient with one another, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. We know that one of the cornerstones of love is patience from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So as we embrace the heart of being patient with one another, we know that that is truly loving each other. You know, when you look at this analogy of a man and a woman coming together, I think of two very strong beams, 4x4s, if you will. And they're leaning into one another. And those forces are equal and opposite to keep the beams upright. If you think about it, if one of the beams pushes too hard, you knock the other down. If one of the beams pulls back too much, the other beam falls down. Equal and opposite opposing forces. And it even goes deeper. If you just have two beams sitting on the surface, at some point in time, the friction is going to decrease and the beams will lose traction and then they'll come falling down. But when you add a third beam to the other two beams and you stabilize the two beams into the third beam and they get hooked in first, then you bring those two beams together. Now you have a strong triangle. And that third foundational beam is God and His Word. So this is the love triangle. This is how we live together in relationships for eternity. It's being hooked into God first and coming together in opposing love second. It is better than expected when we are patient in our marriage. It is better than expected when we are patient with our fiancés, with our girlfriends, with our brothers and sisters. Amen. And so Adam was now looking to complete the love triangle. Adam says, I'm not complete yet. Let's pick it up in verse 20. So the man gave the names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha," which means woman in Hebrew. "For she was taken out of Ish," which is man in Hebrew. So you can hear the play on words there. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Write this one down. Write this one down. Patience in unity leads to being grateful together. You see, Adam was patient. He did the task that God put on his heart. He lived out calling out all those names. And then God comes through. God blesses Adam with Eve. Man, I know I would be grateful after naming 8.7 million animals. I don't know how long it took, but brothers, especially the married brothers, y'all know how it is on the wedding night, right? All right, that's what we talked about yesterday in the old marriage workshop. We're going to let that stay there, but I know what Adam was waiting for. So we see Adam is excited. He has his better half. So man leaves his parents. What's going on with that? Why does that even need to happen? Well, what's going on is God took a rib. And when you look at the Hebrew, this word is called a round. And it basically just means a part of or a piece of. So actually, there is a piece of man that's been taken away from him. So when he's with his mother and father, there's something that's still missing. And it's not until God brings the suitable opposing equal partner till man is complete. I always wonder why my wife would tell me, like, you know what, Ed, you got the right one. Because if you would have married anybody else, You would have pushed them over, tell them what to do, barking orders at them. You're not doing that with me. You got the right one. And I've been frustrated with my wife all these years. I'm like, why is she opposing me at every corner? Now I understand the biblical reason why. I was missing that. God had taken that out of me, but he has fulfilled that piece in me by giving me Latasha Jackson. And boy, she is a good one. So when I look at what Adam and Eve are doing, when you are coming together, you know, let's look at man. Has anybody ever had a broken rib before? Man, when you break a rib, that is one of the most painful things ever. And a lot of the times, there's nothing for us to do about it except be patient and just let it heal. And that's what man is going through, waiting for his opposing helper. There's some pain in there. There's some turmoil in there. But we have to be patient. And that patience continues when the two come together to be united as one flesh. The love triangle is complete, and we are grateful together. Say it with me, grateful together. Grateful together. You know, y'all, I have to be honest, boy. One of the areas I struggle with patience is being on time when I'm going places with my Tasha. Woo, Lord, pray for me, Father. Pray for me. Because in my training being an orthopedic surgeon, I can't be late to surgery. I can't be late to clinic. I get taxed if I'm late to the operating room. So me being late, it just doesn't compute in my mind. But my wife has a different clock going. And over the years, I have had to learn to be gratefully patient. So what is it for you? What is it that causes you to struggle in patience? I know for me, as I have grown in this area, I think about a beautiful woman that wants to be with me. I think about an incredible woman who's getting dressed up, and I know that takes time to do that, who wants to go out on date nights and hang with me. Man, I have so much to be grateful for. So this is the heart that we all must understand. There's a lot of things in our life that we can be patient for, and we have no problem with being patient, just like the old vacation. So let's be patient with God, just like Adam was. Let's be patient with our wives and our husbands. Let's be patient with our fiancés. Let's be patient with our brothers and sisters. Let's be patient with the people that we're helping spiritually. Let's not forget, we were like them not too long ago. Sometimes I think as disciples, we forget the baggage that we brought into our relationship with God. So let's be gratefully patient. Amen. As we do that, one of the things I do want to point out is let's also try not to change each other. Let me ask you a question, married people. That one thing in your spouse that you just despise, that you're just trying to change, was that person that way or doing that thing when you married them? Because if they were, stop trying to change them. You signed up for that. And what I'm talking about is the heart of dealing with us first. Because we don't even have the power to change ourselves all along because we need God. And we need his Holy Spirit. So we need to focus in on us first. A lot of the times I'll get with the brothers and I'll be like, man, let me tell you what Tasha did. Tasha did this and Tasha did that. And she made me feel a certain type of way and all this. I ain't told the brothers nothing about my part in the matter and how I need to change and how I need to grow. So let's stop trying to change each other. We can pray for our spouse. And we can lead in humility in the areas that we need to change in. What we need to do, brothers and sisters, is we just need to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And one of the cornerstones of being a disciple is being grateful and being patient. Amen. And there is a gentleman that I would like to tell you about that has really lived this out. My buddy, Eddie Beal. Eddie Beal, we met Eddie through Mike and Mike's incredible partnership with Peacemakers with Ronald Blue. And Mike invited Eddie to come out. It was actually about 6-8 weeks ago when we had medical week. Eddie came out and Eddie was excited, man. He was like, man, I haven't had in-person fellowship in 2 years. I'm just so excited. He was like, it was a great message, great fellowship. And so we started spending time with Eddie. We started looking at the scriptures and Eddie was open and he was humble. And you can tell that God was working in this man's heart. Eddie also was sharing to us about, you know, the challenges that he had going on in his marriage that he wanted to do better. He says he's never really seen the context of what a spiritual marriage really should look like. So he was excited to be around other spiritual married men. And so as we looked at the scriptures, Eddie was like, oh, hold on. Something ain't right here. I'm not right with God. I'm not a disciple, but I want to be. And as we were studying out discipleship and Eddie was actually putting these things into practice, he sent me a text message. And you can see on the screen, the text message says, my wife has noticed a change. I appreciate it. I was blown away. I saw the power of the gospel living and active right in front of my face. And Eddie says, this is it. I'm tired of fighting against God. I want to be a disciple. I want to make Jesus Lord. And Eddie wants to get baptized. Now, Eddie wants to get baptized next week because he wanted to be patient and give his wife an opportunity to be present. So Eddie was living out grateful patience. You know, maybe your relationship and your marriage is not quite going like you thought it should. Maybe it's time for you to invest in your relationship with God like Eddie did, with grateful patience and allow God to work on your heart. You know, the heart of what Eddie did blew me away because Eddie allowed other spiritual men to help him out. Maybe it's time for you to allow a group of disciples to help you out to open up God's word. Because unity with God starts with humility before God. Unity with God starts with humility before God. Brothers and sisters, what would it look like for all of us to lean into that tension and be patient with a grateful heart? Then we would be able to show the world that we are Jesus's disciples through our patience. And as we look at Jesus, we know that Jesus was the epitome of patience. He was patient as he was teaching his disciples. There was one time he almost lost his patience with them. But Jesus was patient on the cross while he was getting beaten, while he was getting bruised, while he was getting just battered. The blood was spilling, but he patiently sat on the cross until the victory was won for me and for you. Jesus is the epitome of being gratefully patient. Let's follow in his footsteps. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we come to you, God, because we have no other place to go. We sit before your throne, before the altar right now, God, asking you, Father, to be patient with us, God, as you have been for time and time again. Allow our patience to grow in our heart, Holy Father, as we follow your Son's footsteps of being patient, patient on the cross, the blood being spilt, so that we can take part in the body and blood of your Son to have a relationship with you. Thank you, God, for this incredible marriage ministry. Thank you, God, for this incredible church with men and women who want to be your disciples. I pray that our hearts to be gratefully patient will make an impact in our community. In your Holy Son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.